Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Would you come in your fullest of measure? Come and have your way today, we pray. Come and do a work in us. Well, we're ready to partner with you. We walk out of here today with more of you, more in love with you, having encountered you, Jesus. And we just love you, God. We honor you, God. I pray that you would speak today. God, don't let it be my words, let it be yours. So come and have your way in this space. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So good. Thanks, John. Awesome. Hey, it's good to be here with you all. Jump into the Word of God. You know, fun fact, Tam and I, we planted and pastored the Nations Church Phnom Penh campus in Cambodia for 5.5 years. And can I tell you a little bit about when we first moved to Cambodia in 2015? Can I tell you about that? Yeah, I'm a Perth homegrown boy, like lived in the same house all my life until I got married. And so going to Cambodia, wow, it was a new experience for me. And firstly, there are so many new smells, so many different, I was going to say auditory, what's this one? Olfactory experiences. There we go. Thank you, Pastor Christy, making me sound smarter already. Who has a strong sense of smell here? Yeah. Okay. Normally, it's okay, that's when you're pregnant, but I don't worry about that. We won't ask those questions. But there's so many different smells. There's obviously the incense that's burned in a lot of places as part of a religious offering. That always just messed with me. I don't know if I'm like really sensitive to that smell, or maybe I'm really sensitive in my spirit, or maybe I was just being a bit dramatic. I don't know. But you'd go to what was called the wet market, and or for them, it's just the market. We call it a wet market, and that was a new experience for me. Over here, you've got a whole big tray of chicken stomachs, and then on this side, you got your fish heads. Who likes a good fish head? Yeah, I see those hands. You're on your own there. That's not me. But, you know, baby duck eggs up for grabs over here. And who's getting a little peckish? Yeah, nobody. Okay. But then there's this floor cleaner that everybody uses that smells like a mix of angels, newborn babies, and clouds. It's delightful, right? And, you know, then you have, as you're driving through, you have these beautiful Khmer curries that kind of waft through the street. And then there's the famous Black River. In essence, it's an open sewer canal that runs through the district that our church is in. And for a period of time, it's sewer sludge, and then there's a layer of kind of rubbish and kind of green foliage that nicely grows over the top. And for a couple of years, we lived along it. You know, we love that canal life, you know, that canal lifestyle's really our kind of thing. But so there's this black sludge, and I once dared a friend of ours to try and walk across it. You know, we'd seen people scavenging on top of it before, you know, the trash and the green foliage kind of holding them up. And so I dare you to walk across it one night. And she took one step and literally just went straight in to the sludge, and I just was having fits of laughter. Like, I thought it was the funniest thing ever. Here's where it gets really gross, right? We didn't realize until about a week later she had a little cut on her leg. And from that moment, mosquitoes had laid eggs in her, and they were growing in her leg. Oh, goodness me. The smells. So many. Sorry, I just had to take you there. The smells. So many wonderful and not so wonderful smells. But this is where I segue beautifully into my message. And I really feel that the Lord is asking us, His church, today, what do you smell like? Because He is coming back for a spotless bride, not a stinky bride, not a lazy bride, not a selfish bride. And I believe in my spirit in this time that there is a great call to us to holiness. And to become more like Jesus. And we need to, it's where we kind of shift our focus off of celebrating gifting, you know, or who moves best in the spiritual gifts, or who's really good at doing good things for God. Because The Bible does say you can speak in tongues, you can prophesy, you can have wild faith and generosity, but if you don't love like Jesus, you have nothing, right? You know, blessings, they're wonderful too, but they come and go. And quite a number of the blessings that we really enjoy, we actually don't take into eternity with us. And at the end of the day, the word says we're blessed to be a blessing, just like Jesus. You know, so gifting is good, blessings are great, but the ultimate goal for us is to become more like Jesus. And there is a call to us to carry the sweet fragrance of Christ in our lives. And so I want to talk about that today. And I believe the Lord wants to minister to us in how we live our lives under Him and what comes out of us. So my title is, What Do You Smell Like? Turn to the person next to you and say, What do you smell like? Take a big deep breath in. Now you know. Awesome. You know, look, we all know that person that doesn't smell the best a lot of the time. You know, maybe the fragrance in the room changes when they come in, or maybe there's a breath of fresh air once they leave. I don't know. Maybe they don't shower enough, or maybe they need to upgrade their deodorant or their shower gel. You know, you can develop a resistance to your deodorant. Yeah, it stops the micro bodies or whatever stop responding. So change it up every 6 months. There's a free, that one's for free, but like, man, when I moved to Cambodia and the change of climate, the constant humidity and the sweating, like, I would have a shower, I'd have a good scrub, and then I'd like, oh, come on, are you serious? Like, I would still not, and so I had to upgrade my shower gel. It was time to go to a new level, amen? And so I want to ask you today, what do you smell like? What do you smell like? What is the fragrance of your life? What kind of atmosphere do you bring into the spaces in your world? Does the way you live point to a beautiful Savior that's alive in your life? Because, I mean, like, if you're standing by a rubbish truck when it picks up your rubbish and you take a deep breath in, how do you respond? You're probably like, that's a bit nasty, right? But when you walk past a bakery with freshly baked bread and the pastries and you take a deep breath in, you're like, oh my goodness, right? As followers of Jesus, our lives should smell more like donuts than dump trucks. Amen? So what does yours smell like? You know, my prayer today is that this message would really challenge all of us, but I'm really praying that it would challenge those of us that have been Christians for some time. Because often, you know, younger Christians, you guys, the newer Christians, you're typically already hungry to grow and be transformed. But for many of us, I feel like over time, familiarity kind of creeps in. And maybe we lose a bit of the revelation we have of what we've been saved from, or we can stop expecting and desiring for God to transform us, you know? Or we just start to accept some of the ways that we behave. Oh, this is who I am. I've always had a temper. You know, my last issue doesn't bother anyone else, you know? Or I've slowly gotten cynical or greedy or self-focused. And if we're honest, we're maybe a little too okay with where we're at. You know, Galatians chapter 5:22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And this is not just a quirky little song we teach the kids because it's about fruit and we can stick, you know, peace on a pear and joy on a banana, like, yay. But let's actually put it up on screen. Galatians 5:22, it says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. So why don't we take some stock right now? Lynette, leave that scripture up there. Has your past week been full of love for others? Has it been wrapped up in joy, regardless of circumstance? Have you lifted up a room when you walked in, or have you brought it down? Have you expressed self-control when that person drove like a crazy person and cut you off in the traffic? Have you demonstrated patience when your partner has failed to do as you've asked again? Were you kind and respected the perspective of another, or is it your way or the highway? Are you gentle, or are you rash and explosive? This is a great heart check for us, because we're called to live holy, and Jesus desires to transform us for the better. He wants to upgrade us as people. Amen? He came to bring life and life more abundantly. You know, I've heard some people ask before, well, why do I need to change who I am? Why do I need to treat people differently or be a different person? Doesn't God just accept me for who I am?
Well, he does, but he loves you so much that he doesn't want to keep you in a place that isn't as life-giving and as life-filled as it could be. You see, life with Jesus is one of life and life more abundantly. It's a life of going from glory to glory, and that means it gets better and better the more we allow him to transform us. We have more rewarding relationships. We live in a greater space of peace and joy in our day-to-day. We hurt ourselves and others less, right? And most of all, we love and honor God better. So allowing the Lord to transform us is a joy and should be a welcome invitation. And even more than that, an intentional pursuit as we seek to live lives that bring him glory. And so we're going to open up in a passage today in Ephesians. And Paul is charging the Ephesians to live different, to live like Christ. And there's a bit of scripture here, but we're okay with that. We're doing a Bible revival, amen? So let's pick it up in Ephesians chapter 4. All right, verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Someone say, put off. Put off. To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on. Someone say, put on. The new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off. Someone say, put off. Put off. Falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let, someone say, do not let.
Do not let.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve, someone say, do not grieve.
Do not grieve.
The Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of, someone say, get rid of. All bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example. Someone say, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Should we just do the altar call now? I look at this and I feel like we can all take something away from here to work on. Pastor Matt, you got to stop stealing. It's the Pokemon cards from the newsagent, huh? Yeah, hey, we'll pray for you. But Paul is calling us to take off, to put off our old self and to put on our new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Yeah. And I read this and I see that our being more like God, adjusting the fragrance of our lives, requires some putting off and some putting on. It requires us to do not let and to get rid of and to follow God's example. And so what I see is that we carry a responsibility to do our part in becoming more like Jesus. And so if you're taking notes, number one, I am responsible for what I smell like. I am responsible for what I smell like. Some of us just want the Lord to come and zap us and make us like Jesus, right? But this text, along with others, tell me that I have a responsibility to reject the former way of life and choose his way. You know, look, God can do heart surgery in a powerful altar call moment, in a time of prayer in your connect, in a real revelatory moment in your quiet time. But we still have the choice after that fact, whether we walk in it or whether we just go back and put on our old self again. Your altar call moment didn't zap away your free will or your flesh. Am I right? Or am I right? I'm preaching, so you can't argue me. I love, we read part of that was Ephesians 5 verse 1 or 2, and in the NLT version it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. We're called to be like Jesus, a fragrant aroma to God. And I see there's another action word in there, responsibility on our part is to imitate God. Just like children imitate their parents. Oh man, one time I was in a hurry and I kind of quickly jumped in the car. It was an old car and I was trying to start and it wouldn't start. I was like, come on. And I was like, I was in a hurry and I got like a little bit worked up and I was like, oh, come on you. And I used the word that starts with B and kind of rhymes with custard. I know, I'm a heathen. Look, this was 4 years ago. I was in Cambodia. There wasn't a lot of accountability to my walk. No. And in that moment was when I also realized Shiloh, who's 2 years old, was sitting on the back seat. And what did she do the moment I said that word? She repeated it. Okay, start the car, eyes ahead, don't react, just drive. I don't believe she said it again since, praise God. I don't know if I've said it again since either. But imitate God. Be just like him. That's a big call, but Jesus is the real life example of what that looks like. Maybe we need to bring back those what would Jesus do bracelets to remind us to imitate him in everything we do. What do you smell like? Do you smell like Jesus? Is your life a fragrant offering unto the Lord? When you walk into a room or when you engage with someone, when you're working hard and someone gets in the way or makes a mistake, these are all opportunities to release a Christ-like fragrance into our spaces. To walk with grace and patience and truth and joy and self-control. You see, God hasn't called us a new creation and gifted us with his presence for us to go on and stink up the atmospheres and environments we find ourselves in. Some of us, we need to get off the complaints train. Right? Decide, this is my stop. I'm not going any further with the complaining, right? PK often says, email your complaints to me. To my email, I'm not going to say my email out loud because I don't want to read them. But emails of affirmation, I'm all about it. You can send them my way. But some of us need to come back to what our mama says. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Thank you, mama. You know, instead of complaining about the people at work that we're actually called to reach, pray for them. Remind yourself of what you love about them, right? Ask God to show you that if you're struggling. Instead of having a negative, stinking attitude towards your family or relatives, forgive as God has forgiven you and put on love, which binds his people together in perfect unity. Here's one for me. Instead of getting frustrated by your children, pray for them and ask God each day to see what he sees in them. Sometimes you have to pray that multiple times in a day. Each of us are responsible for what we smell like, for choosing holiness, for putting off our old self and choosing to imitate Christ. I am responsible for what I smell like, and God is responsible for working on my open heart. That's point number two. Hebrews 13, verse 20. God is responsible for working on my open heart. Verse 20 in Hebrews 13. May the God of peace who brought the blood of the eternal covenant, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. May he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. May he work in you what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. Who does the working? Who's it through? It's through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a bit like me and you're so aware of your issues and your character weaknesses and where you fall short. And maybe you can sometimes feel overwhelmed by how ungodly you are or what your inner world looks like or how your flesh is working within you. But this scripture has been an absolute revelation for me because he wants to work in me what is pleasing to him. Right? He wants to change what's in my heart. And so therefore, the more that I give him myself, the more that I be with him, the more he will infuse me with who he is. It's the genius of the and, right, that Pastor Ken talked about. I take responsibility for the way that I live, the fragrance I give off, and God commits to work in my heart as it remains open to him. It's not a case of, oh, I'm on my own. I got to fix me. I got to measure. I got to be more holy. I got to change. I got to do it. But it's also not a case of, well, I'm going to just sit back and let Jesus transform me, make me a good person. It's a partnership. Yes. Amen?
Yeah, good word. Good word.
You see, there are encounters to be had where God shifts things, where he opens our eyes, where he supernaturally brings freedom and he lifts something off of us. But then there's also times where I must choose to switch off that inappropriate show, or to hold my tongue, or to choose to go to Connect instead of just be at home where I feel comfortable and convenient because I've had a hard day. Jesus and I working together, things start to smell good. Good. I am responsible for what I smell like, and God is responsible for working on my open heart. And you know what glues these two truths together? It's my point number three. It's your sacred time with Jesus.
Yes.
That's what glues these two truths together. Yes. You see, we don't want to be stinky people. Yes. No one wakes up and says, I'm going to be a jerk today. We all want to be good people, right? We don't want to do the fleshly things we do. You know, that Romans 7 has come up a few times in the last few weeks on the pulpit. You know, I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do and that kind of thing. But it lands on Romans 7, 25 that says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is Jesus who delivers us. But are we expecting Jesus to deliver us without even being with him?
Yeah.
Are we expecting to be transformed without ever beholding him? You see, there is a call to his people to come back to him, right? To embrace and revere the quiet time again, to go deeper with him in that private space so that who he is permeates in and through your life. Because the world is crying out for a savior. You know, when Peter and John were brought before the rulers and the religious leaders in Acts chapter 4, it says that they stood with boldness and they preached the gospel to these guys. Their lives were at risk and they stood. There wasn't fear. They were bold. And the religious rulers and these, like, they took note and they said, man, these guys have been with Jesus. They could tell these guys had been with Jesus. To the religious leaders, they stunk of Christ, right? Can people tell you've been with Jesus? Well, maybe the question is, have you been with Jesus? You know, Pastor Matt spoke last week about beholding Jesus and sitting at his feet and enjoying him. And you know, Moses was amazing at this. When he spent time with the Lord, it says his face shone. Like there was a physical shift in him, right? And then Joshua, he then follows the example a step further. And it says he was found lingering in the presence of the Lord after Moses left. And the reality is you become who you behold. You become who you behold. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, we touched on earlier, they're the fruits of a connection with the Spirit of God, right? When you are connected to him, abiding in him, they start to come out of your life organically, right? It becomes less of a discipline in trying to hold your tongue because you're actually full of gentleness and patience from the Spirit. See, what comes out of us, the way we speak, the way we react, our attitudes, the way we respond, the fragrance of our life, is directly connected to whether or not we've been with him. Have you been with Jesus? Have you been beholding him? Have you mixed up Pastor Ken's message and the genius of the Anne and sermon where you've got Jesus on a Sunday and everything else of the world in the rest of the week? That's not the Anne we were talking about. You see, no one chooses to be stinky. I said that before. No one wants to smell bad. But if you neglect doing the things that keep you clean, like showering and like eating healthy, then it'll naturally happen. Yeah. Similarly, if you treat being with Jesus as blasé or non-essential, well, don't expect to be able to sustain being anything like him. You know, theologian Frederick Meyer says this, a sweet savor of Christ. It does not consist so much in what we do, but in our manner of doing it. Not so much in our words or deeds as an indefinable sweetness, tenderness, courtesy, unselfishness, and desire to please others to their edification. It is the breath and fragrance of a life hidden with Christ in God and deriving its aroma from what? From fellowship with him. Wrap the habits of your soul in the sweet lavender of your Lord's character. That's poetic and true. To him, in him, from him, through him are all things. I need to be closely connected. Yeah. We need to restore our personal time with Jesus as a non-negotiable in our lives. Yeah. And I'm not talking about a religious procedure here. I'm talking about sitting down with your Savior. Yeah. I'm talking about allowing him to shape you and to refine you, letting him speak to you, right? I'm talking about being so consumed with him that he is what comes out of you. Yeah. You know, I once found a vibrant blue spider in my mum's pantry, and it had been living off of the blue food coloring. So that's why it was bright blue. What you consume, you become. Thank you, Spider, for that revelation. Someone write that down. We're consuming so much from the world that we can squeeze Jesus out. You see, if we're honest, time with him maybe doesn't hit as quickly as it does when I'm watching soccer or when I'm on social media, when I'm having a glass of red and watching my TV series or when I'm working out, pumping the iron. I don't know what that's like. These are often merely quick dopamine hit fixes. They're quick hit dopamine fixes and they don't transform us, they don't fulfill us, and they don't leave us smelling like Jesus. I'm not saying all those things are bad, but we can't replace our time with Jesus. And that's why our time with the Lord must become sacred again. Special, revered, protected. You know, something that's sacred, it gets our full attention. We don't allow interruptions from menial things like an Instagram or email notification. All right, sacred things, they find a dedicated space, a private or protected space. You know, I feel mums and dads, some of you are going to need to have some conversations after today and about how you reinstate your quiet times with the Lord. I get it. I have young kids. It's busy. And maybe, you know, you have to say, okay, these days will be my mornings with the kids and you go and have time with the Lord. And then those days I'll have time with the Lord. You go be with the kids. You know, let's work it out and let's return to the value and necessity of our personal time with Jesus. Your spouse will like you a lot more too. Have you ever been around a lady with like a really strong perfume and then afterwards you smell like that? Jesus is your strong perfume lady you need to get around, okay? Don't read into that theologically. Don't send me an email. This matters to God. Who we're becoming. It's a joy to him as we imitate him. It's the same for every parent. When your kid, as long as it's something positive, does something you do, you're like, yes, that's awesome. Like, I taught him that, you know? But also, we got to understand, it's not just a joy to God and it's not just a joy to us, but there's lives at stake. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 says, "For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." We are meant to smell like Jesus so people will come to know him, so people will want to follow him. You know, what I believe is one of the greatest sentences that can come out of someone's mouth who doesn't know God. There's something different about you. What is that? You know, ka-ching, right? Let's go. That's an open opportunity right there to share Jesus. You know, praise God, I'm giving off the fragrance of Christ to some degree here. You know, what we smell like, what kind of fragrance we give off is powerful and essential to reaching those that don't know him. You know, we can learn techniques on how to communicate the gospel. We can preach to our neighbors, our colleagues, our families. But if they look at our lives and think there's nothing different there, there's nothing life-changing or alive there, it doesn't matter what you say or even what miracles occur, they won't want what you're having. You know, is our behavior, our attitudes, our reactions any different to those around us who don't know God? Do you smell just like someone who doesn't know Jesus? You know, the great Charles Spurgeon says it like this: "What are we sent into the world for? Is it not that we may keep men in mind of God, whom they are most anxious to forget? If we are imitators of God as dear children, they will be compelled to recollect that there is a God, for they will see his character reflected in ours. I have heard of an atheist who said he could get over every argument except the example of his godly mother. He could never answer that." What we smell like matters to a lost generation. So what do you smell like? Are you taking responsibility for the fragrance of your life? Are you sitting at the feet of Jesus with a heart that's open for the Lord to work in it? Your worship team, you guys can come. You know, Tam kicked me out of the house once. Not for like an extended period or anything. Don't worry, guys, we're okay. Don't go and give her a hard time either. But basically, the reason was because I was whinging and complaining about church members. None of you, we were in Cambodia, okay. Don't worry, you guys are fantastic. Love all of you. But Tam, she says to me, she says, "Hey, what's coming out of you right now stinks. You need to go out and go have time with Jesus." And she kicked me out. And she was right. And she gave me the slap in the face that I needed. She didn't actually slap me. Everything's okay, guys. Figuratively, gave me the slap in the face that I needed. And I went before God, and I had to repent. And I had to choose. I had to choose to speak differently, to look at my team differently, and to then let Him do some work in my heart. And to draw me back to what matters, and to help me let go of stuff that maybe I was holding on to, and to see people how He sees them, and He began to fill me with those fruits again, a patience, a kindness, a faith in them. We got to take responsibility and then allow the Lord to work in us. It's that partnership as we have quiet time, as we sit with Him, as we extend our connection with God. Some of us, it's time to stop making excuses. Oh, it's just been really busy at work. It's always going to be busy at work or busy at home or something, right? My mom was always like this. I don't know any better. I'm just tired. Oh, it's just a season I'm in. How long have you been in that season, right? You treated me bad first. Whatever it may be, we got to take responsibility for what we smell like. We're ambassadors. We represent Jesus, right? We need to prioritize being with Jesus and allowing Him to work in you what is pleasing to Him. Lord, may my life carry the sweet fragrance of Jesus. That Ephesians 5 verse 1 and 2 was, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us. If we're feeling like this is a hard or a regrettable thing to do, we just come back to the reality that this is what Christ has already done for us. Jesus gave Himself up as an offering and a sacrifice for us to God as a fragrant aroma. And so we need Him. We need Him more. We never stop needing Him. It's not a once-off, but it's a habit of the soul. It's a taking responsibility. It's a commitment. Okay, I need to be with you, Jesus. The one who gave yourself up for me. And He is faithful to work in you. As we do our part in putting things off, He's faithful to transform us.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.